This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, good morning, Bridgeway. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. It's good to see you. Glad that you guys are here. We are jumping back into this misdirection series. Before I dive into that, I mean, I'm gonna go off of what Pastor Mike was saying about Ron. Have you guys like thought about that before? Like the fact that he's like off doing an Ironman and he took vacation to do that? Like what? That just does not even resonate in my head. Like I can't even wrap my head around that. But we're pulling for him today and excited for him as well. So we're jumping back into this misdirection series. We're talking about learning from our mistakes. And this morning I get to tell you about one of mine. And I think back to when I was in high school, and it was one specific morning that I'm heading to school, and I'm running down to my car. I'm running for a reason because I'm rushing. Have any of you ever had a morning where it seems like Murphy's Law, like everything that can go wrong does go wrong, and you end up rushing, literally sprinting to your car to try to get wherever you're going on time? That was me trying to get to school. I couldn't afford a tardy at this point. Now, whatever that means, take that for what that means. That probably means that I had a lot of other tardies and then one more at suspension or something. But I'm running, rushing down to my car. I get to my car. It's the middle of winter. And to my dismay, I look at my windshield and see that it is completely covered in frost and ice. And it's happened before. It's Michigan. That happens quite a bit here. And so I grab out my scraper, and I do, like, the check, right? I'm like, okay, well, hopefully it comes off easy. I do the one scrape, like, right in front of where the driver can see, like, one line across, and I realize that, okay, this is not suffice. Like, this is not going to work. And you know what? I don't have time for this. So I just jumped in my car, and I started driving to school. And I did what only some of us in Michigan, I don't know, can know you do in an experience like that. Do not try this at home, please. I jump in my car, understand that the one scrape is just not quite enough, and I drive to school with my head out the window. Literally, my head out the window. I had, like, snot, like, frozen in my face. It was disgusting, but I had to do what I had to do to get to school. And I'm driving, and I get to school. I arrive. I stop at the intersection, and as I'm looking across, head still out the window, I'm like, I made it. This is going to be great. I see another car pull up on the other side of the intersection at that side stop sign, and it just happens to be a police officer. And so I very quickly, just like a turtle in a shell, I'm like, whoop, back into my car. Oh, I hope he didn't see me. I hope he didn't see me. I look through my little scrape, and I'm like, wait for my turn into the parking lot. I think I'm golden. Then I hear, boop, boop, right? Cop pulls in right behind me, and I'm now right in the entrance to my high school's parking lot, pulled over by a police officer as everybody else is arriving to school. And in that moment, I had, like, this mix of emotions. Like, there's part of me that's just, like, I just wanted to, like, put my head back into my shell out of just sheer embarrassment for what I was experiencing. I'm like, everybody is going to, like, come in and see that I'm pulled over in the high school parking lot. It's just embarrassing. Like, don't look. Like, nothing to see here. Move along. And then yet there's another part of me that was, like, almost thought it was cool. Like, I thought, I'm like, there's probably, like, kids, like, coming in, like, whoa, like, Justin Tully's pulled over. Sick. Like, I don't know. I thought maybe I'd be the talk of the school that day. And for some reason, in an immature mind, I thought that would be great. And yet the police officer walks up to my window, and we start to have a conversation. And as you can imagine, it does not go well for me. And I remember specifically, he reaches into my car. And if you've ever had a police officer reach into your car, it's a little freaky, right? You're like, okay, what did I do? Don't touch me. And he reaches in, and he actually touches my windshield, the spot, the one little spot that I had scraped. And he goes, can you even see? Can you even see through that? And I said the most moronic thing I could possibly have said in that moment. It was just one word, and I just said, enough. And this officer lost it. I mean, just irate. Like, this, it just bubbled up emotions within him that I don't think he was even ready for that morning. And I just sat there and took it all in, right? As he just unleashed, like, this tirade against me about why I shouldn't have done that, how bad of a decision it was. And I just took it, yes, sir, sorry, sir, yes, sir, sorry, sir. Until I finally got to the end. And I do not know how, but I did not get a ticket that morning. But I went into class just feeling very sheepish. And so I tell you that that story this morning for a reason, and that reason is this. My one word, when I said enough, elicited quite the response from the officer that day. One word is all it took. And so this morning, as we're talking about learning from our mistakes, I want to talk about a topic that I just think is really relevant and prominent in our lives. And that's this. I want to talk about talk. And because I believe this, I believe Scripture has a whole lot to say about our talk, our words. Check this out. If you haven't experienced this, where like one word or maybe a few words can be really powerful, let me break it down for you. If you're a parent in the room, maybe you at some point in your life you've heard a toddler or a teenager respond to you by saying no when you ask them to do something. You know that that word is powerful because it elicits emotions within you that just bubble right up, doesn't it? Let me run a little experiment with you this morning, church. I want to give you one word. I want to see how you respond. Ready? Here's your word. Buckeyes. Oh, my goodness. Okay, there's different responses. I was not expecting some clapping, but that's okay. I get it. But here's what I think probably in most of us in here, maybe we experience this if we're not a Buckeye fan ourselves. Maybe you experienced one or two emotions. Maybe you thought of that team down south that always just seems to get under your skin whenever they play one of our teams, right? And it's just like, ooh, anger. You get irritated. The thought of the word Buckeyes is just enough to just rub you the wrong way. But maybe not. Maybe when I said Buckeyes, you experienced pure joy. Because you thought of the delectable duo that is chocolate and peanut butter and a Buckeye. Listen, I'm gonna throw somebody under the bus right here. This is a little fun side fact. Pastor Mike over here actually hates peanut butter. And so I don't really know what to make of that. It makes me question everything about him. you guys decide for yourselves. I love you, Mike. But here's the deal. I think words are powerful. I believe words are powerful. Think about this. Think about the stark contrast of reactions in the words in these phrases. I love you versus I hate you. It's stark, isn't it? I mean, it's jarring almost. You see, our words are incredibly powerful things that I believe we get, we incredibly overlook in our lives. But the fact is this, that we overlook our words, and I think we do it quite frequently, that as Christians, it's an interesting thing or concept to think that we overlook our words because Scripture is so explicit with how powerful our words are and can be. Like, check this out. Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says this. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. The universe was formed at God's command. And then check this out. In Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. The point being this, God spoke and our world came into existence. God spoke our world into existence. In fact, the Bible can't seem to stop talking about, talking. Like, check this out. In the King James Version of the Bible, the word tongue is used 129 times. And then on top of that, tongues, in the plural form, right, is used another 36 times. And then on top of that, the word lips is used another 118 times. And just when you thought that was it, the word mouth is used another 73 times. Now, some of those references are referring to the actual body parts, but a lot of them, a significant amount of those words that are being used in Scripture are referring to our language or speech. You see, the rate at which the words we speak is brought up in Scripture is enough to realize how important this topic is in regards to our faith journey and our responsibility to reach others for Jesus. Which is why, church, this morning, I believe it's important for us to hang out in the book of Matthew. And we're going to look at a conversation that takes place between Jesus and the Pharisees. Because Jesus' words here about words are super powerful, and it hits on the topic of speech directly. And so we're going to look at Matthew 12, verses 33 to 37. If you have a Bible in front of you, you want to open it up, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's the first of the four Gospels, chapter 12. We're going to jump right into verse 33. Here we go. 33 says this: make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Again, this is Jesus speaking. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. As I read and studied this passage in preparation for this morning, man, it hits hard. It hits hard, and there's a lot of different things that I pull from this, and yet I see two distinct themes that Jesus talks about in this scripture that I want to talk about this morning with you. And here's the first of those. Your heart is full of something. You see, I get it. Sometimes our words, they just get away from us, and we say something that we had no intention of saying. This happens, right? It happens all the time. Sometimes we say something negative, or we say something cutting or hurtful, or we say something sarcastic even. And in the moment, I believe that we think our words are more about the other person. But what if our words in that moment were more telling about us? See, there's that verse from Matthew again where Jesus says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. You see, the words that come up in us, they say something more about us, about who we are, than they do about the person that we directed our words towards. Have we allowed something viral to store up in us that acts as a poison to the people around us? You see, if I can't help but say something negative to somebody, then maybe I've just let negativity just run rampant in my life instead of the hope of Jesus, plain and simple. Not that we all don't have moments of weakness, right? I get that. We all have moments of weakness where it just takes one moment, we see ourselves doing something and say something that we normally would not do, where we just kind of step out of character in a moment. But I want to tell you this, a pattern of destructive language isn't God honoring, and it hurts our witness as Christ followers. It just does. See, Jesus in this passage makes it clear that our words reveal what our heart is full of. There's a pipeline there. So my question is this, is of myself even, is my heart, is it full of good treasures? Or is it full of hardness? Is there like a coarse attribute that I've allowed to just seep into my heart? See, I sometimes believe that we convince ourselves that this is based on our life experiences. That the health of our heart depends on the randomness of whatever life throws at us. And that if we've been dealt a tough hand in life, then it justifies our heart becoming hardened. Like, well, yeah, I mean, what do you expect? I went through this thing. Of course I have a little bit of a hardened heart when it comes to that. But I believe this, church, I believe that this could not be further from the truth. I just told you a few moments ago about how Scripture is rich in talking about our language and our words that we use, the way we speak. And so this morning, I'm hitting you with a lot of Scripture because it's unstoppable. It just keeps coming at you when you read through the Bible, these words about our words. And so in John 15, 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, church, we must, as Christ followers, we must stay connected to Jesus throughout our every day. if we want to get this thing called our language right, we must stay connected to Jesus, because that determines what our heart is full of. Whether or not we're connected or disconnected to Jesus helps determine what our hearts are full of. That doesn't mean that there will be no pain if we're connected to Jesus. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't grieve or be upset while going through something difficult. But staying connected to Jesus through that process will help determine what happens to our hearts, which then flows to our tongues. What we allow to enter into our hearts, we probably end up allowing to exit through our mouths. You see, I believe Jesus is telling us that if we allow him to tame our heart, then he will help us tame our tongue. So your heart is full of something. My heart is full of something. What is it? What have you allowed in? And how do you allow it to come back out? The second major theme that I pull from this morning in that scripture is this, is that the weight of our words is just great. The weight of our words is great. Like, some of you know this already because you've heard words from another person that the weight of it was just great. Some of you know this because you've said words to another person where you found out the weight of your words was really great in their life in a positive or negative way. But I want us to sit here and think about verse 37 for a minute, because again, in Matthew 12, 37, Jesus says this, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Now listen, Bridgeway, I know this is heavy. Like, this is heavy stuff. Like, some of you are out there this morning thinking like, dude, ease up off the fire and brimstone this morning. But I want to tell you this, this isn't coming from me. This is coming specifically from the mouth of Jesus, straight from the mouth of Jesus. And he makes it clear that on our great day of judgment, every single word we've ever uttered in life will be taken into account, every word. And how particular the account will be for sins of the tongue. This insinuates that God notices every word we say. That he notices every word we say. Even if we don't notice them ourselves, God notices it. See, I don't know about you, but that makes me wanna go wash my mouth out with soap. Because I think back to my own words and I go, oh, dang, like that's gonna come back. That's gonna come back to me. I think about the words that I'm going to say. I know that I'm not perfect. I'm probably going to say more words in my life that I'm going to go, whoa, okay, where did that come from? Why did I allow that to be within me? You see, as Christ followers, I believe we're called to make things right. I just do. I believe we're called to make things right with God and with other people regarding the destructive words that we've spoken. I think part of making things right with God is making things right with other people. That's biblical. Making things right with God and others is just, it's important. It needs to be our priority when it comes to the destructive words that maybe we've let come out of our mouths. You see, I believe we must seek repentance for the mistakes of our mouths. Psalm 139, verse 4, it says this, Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Before a word is even on my tongue, you, Lord, you know it completely. So my question this morning is this. Do I know it completely? If God knows what I'm going to say before I've even said it, he knows all that about my words. Do I know that about my words? Have I given enough thought to my words before I let them come out of my mouth? Do I give any thought at all to the words that I've spoken before I've actually spoken them? Do we know where the words are coming from? Do we know the heart behind them? Do we think about this before we open our mouths and say certain things? God, you see, God knows all of that about our words before we even say them. So church, we better know them too. You see, I remember a few weeks back, I was getting up in the morning, and I'll tell you this about myself. I'm a morning person. I'm one of those weirdos that gets up and is like, hey, it's going to be a good day. I don't even need coffee. Somehow I'm just like internally going, right? My wife is not that way, and that's okay. Some of you in here are like, yes, I resonate with her more than you. I get that, right? As soon as I said I was a morning person, some of you in here were like, I'm not awake yet, and I hate you for saying that. But I remember getting up a couple weeks ago. One of my favorite things to do in the morning is to wake up to my 3-year-old daughter getting up as well. And more times than not, she can be a morning person too. So it's like, oh, we got to stick together. We got to stick together. They be happy together in the morning. And so there's times where I get up and she's like, oh, super happy and dancing and rainbows and all this fun stuff. And I get up one morning and I go up there. I hear her coming out of her room. So I run up the stairs. I'm all excited. I get to the end of the hallway. She's at the other end. And I'm like, yes, one of my favorite moments of the day. And my daughter looks at me, and she points across at me from the hallway, and she says, you, you're not mommy. And my heart's like breaking, right? Like, no. I'm like, what? And then she says these words to me. I kid you not. She goes, you go away. And I'm like, no, like the worst part of my favorite part of my day is now the worst part of my day, right? And I get it. Like, I get it. Like, mom's better. I totally understand that. But at the same time, I'm sitting there like, oh, I'm like just like a puddle of a mess of tears. And she just says that. She says, yeah, you go away. And I think back to that, and I realize that all that she was thinking about in that moment was what she wanted, right? And she's justified. I get it. She wanted mom, makes total sense. I'd want mom too if I were her. And yet I also realized that she hadn't like thought, especially as a 3-year-old, she hadn't thought about or processed how her words would sound to me when I heard them. Right? And I don't blame her. She's a 3-year-old at times. Like that just kind of happens in their minds at times, I think, right? But if you're anything like me, maybe you've had experiences yourself where someone else's words shaped you or helped shape you for better or worse, even if you didn't want them to. Somebody else's words helped shape who you are or who you've become. And you've realized that words can cut deep. They can. We all know this because we've been on the receiving end of somebody else's negative or destructive words. And those moments, I want to tell you this morning, church. I believe that those moments can do something powerful for us. I believe that they can actually create something that we carry around with us, in ourselves. That when we have those moments where somebody's words end up stinging, or even if somebody's words end up being profound and we hang on to them for a long time, it creates kind of like this like snapshot moment, right? We're in that moment, we realize that those people's words, they're not just going to like beat off of our feathers like a duck's back, but we're actually going to end up carrying those words around with us. And we do something interesting, I think, in these snapshot moments. I think we do this. The words that were said to us in that moment that's going to stick with us, we label them. We label them, and then we end up doing this. We take that moment, that snapshot, and we carry it around with us. Because in that moment, those words, man, they were powerful in our lives in a good or not so good way. And we label those poisonous words and walk around with them and let them impact us and affect us in our each and every single day. And they do. At times they help in a good or bad way. They help shape who we become. Those words, they leave a lasting impression. And when they leave a lasting impression, sometimes it's hard to let go of. And we do. We carry them around with us. It can be tough to shake. You see, for me, I'll never forget years ago, when I was told by somebody that I worked with that I should probably just move on. If you don't know this about me, I'm the youth pastor here at Bridgeway. I was told by somebody I worked with that I probably should just move on from youth ministry because I really wasn't all that good at it. And in that moment, I had an opportunity. I had a, opportunity to take a snapshot of that, right? That was, it was a snapshot for me. And I had to decide how I was going to carry those words from that moment on. If I was going to let those words define me, or if I was going to let those words become a catalyst for me knowing that God's called me to something and that those words don't have to have power over me. See, I don't tell you that this morning, church, as like a woe is me, but more as a personal recognition that we tend to hold on to that stuff. I know because I've done it. Sometimes we use it to help shape us in a positive way, but sometimes those snapshots, they can wreck us, can't they? And we end up carrying around a whole photo album's worth of snapshot moments that just tore us down and destroyed us. And if we know that that's true for ourselves, then man, does that shine a spotlight on the words that we choose to say to other people. You see, as Christians, we're called to open our mouths for life-giving purposes. That's biblical. Encouraging purposes. We're called to open our mouths for uplifting purposes. Ephesians 4, verse 29, it says this, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Have your words given grace to those who hear them? Are you creating life-giving, God-honoring snapshots for the people around you to carry with them? Are you being Jesus and sharing both truth and compassion? I believe we are called as Christ followers to a higher level of communication when it comes to interacting with the people around us. We just are. We're called to a higher level of communication. And so as encouragement this morning, I want to look at one last passage, one last verse. Because I have my hope and my prayer this morning, church, is that I want us, myself included, to leave this morning with this one last passage from the book of Psalms, because I believe it's important for us as Christians to make amends for the words we've said. I believe that we're actually to set out to make amends for the unloving words that we've said. And my prayer is this morning. It's that we simply ask God for his continued guidance and how we use the gift of language that he's given us, because it is a gift. Maybe for all of us in here, that looks like getting to the end of our everyday, thinking back over the words we've spoken and the interactions we've had, and taking responsibility for any careless words, any careless talk, by asking for forgiveness from God and others. Man, do you do that in your day? I know that I don't do it enough. We have conversations every single day where we think, I don't know, I just said that thing. It didn't mean much to me. What if it meant something to somebody else and they've been carrying around as a snapshot? We have a responsibility as Christ followers to use our words wisely and carefully. You see, I think when we ask for forgiveness from God and from others, when it comes to the unloving words, the destructive words that we've said, I believe that it helps us create a cyclical habit of safeguarding our hearts and our mouths. And so, church, I want to wrap up with this morning, because I think it's important. This one passage from the book of Psalms. If you don't know the book of Psalms, it's amazing. It's incredible. It's this collection of poetry and writings that are written from the perspective of us as humans on earth to God, and just how we think about him and how we interact with him. And I've just been impacted in powerful ways as I've read through this book. And yet there's this last passage I want to leave you with this morning that I just think is just powerful. It's Psalm 141:3, and it says this, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Have you asked God to help you guard your heart and your mind and your mouth? Man, I know there's times that I've just fallen short when it comes to this. And I've said things that it just destroyed, and I didn't even mean to. Church, my encouragement this morning is to do just this. My prayer this morning is that we would just go from this place and do just this, that we would set a guard over our mouth. We would ask God to set a guard over our mouth, that we would ask him to keep watch over the door of our lips, because our words are indeed powerful. And we have an opportunity every single day to use our words to point people toward Jesus, to point people towards his redemption, to point people towards his salvation. And so many times we let our words get in the way of what God's trying to do. And God's still going to move, and God's still going to work. And yet we have a role to play. And so that is my encouragement this morning, church, that we would do that. We would just ask God to set a guard over our mouth and to keep watch over our lips as we go from this place, continuing to try to impact our community and our households and our neighborhoods and beyond for a positive, for a hopeful, and a loving perspective that we can only get through Jesus Christ. So church, that is my prayer this morning. And I pray that even in this moment, after I pray, that we use our words to just lift up a worship and praise to him as the band leads us in song. And so guys, I just pray this morning that this would be something that impacts us in a deep way, myself included, and where we walk from this place feeling hopeful, because you know what? I have control over my words. And so let's pray over this verse together. I want to pray over this together, and our band's going to continue to lead us in worship. So will you pray with me? Father God, I realize this morning that there's words I've said and spoken that, man, they've bared a weight that I haven't realized, I haven't recognized. And so, God, I pray that you would continue to guide us in that, to continue to guide me in that. God, that I would look to you before I open up my mouth and speak words. God, that I would just take every thought captive to you and recognize that maybe it could be said in a better way, or maybe it could just be kept within. Maybe I don't need to say it at all. God, I just pray that you would guide my words in a way where I only speak hope and love into the lives of other people. God, that's not to say that we can't speak truth. We need your truth. God, there's times where we need a fire lit underneath us to get us rolling, to get us moving the ball down the field in a good and positive way. And so, God, it's not that we can't speak truth, but God, I pray that with the truth that we would couple it with compassion. And God, that you would guide our words in that. There's times, God, where we don't know what words to say. And yet you're the master wordsmith. God, my prayer this morning is that we would just relent and give control over to you when it comes to our language. Recognize that, God, you're calling us to do great things, to speak great things about your name and your kingdom. And so, God, we do that. We give that to you this morning. God, we take it as a challenge to be better. So we use our mouths in this moment to not only just praise you, but God, we're going to worship you. And as we sing the words of these songs, God, we recognize that you're in control. You have the best words for us to ever say. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the Sermon Discussion Guide.